This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. This show is dedicated to providing today's modern women with useful information they need to make empowered, conscious choices. Today on the show, we're talking about what to do if you find your life in crisis, and why now is a ripe time for women to experience major breakdowns in their professional and personal lives. On today's show, we're going to talk about the many ways to identify if you are in a professional crisis, as well as powerful steps you can take to make the necessary changes in your life. Our guest today is Kathy Caprino, Executive Life Coach and Career Transition Consultant.
I conducted a year-long research study with over 100 women, and again, these 12 crises, common crises, emerged. But what I think is really happening here has a number of factors. First of all, if we're working in the corporate world, and this is not to blame and bash men in any way, there is evidence still of a white male competitive career model in corporate America. And by that I mean there's some assumptions that are underlying what people assume that successful professionals are and do. Women can be very hard on other women and very competitive. I have to explain my frame of view, which is that we're all inherently good. We don't pop out of the womb being cruel and you know, petty. I think when we're not helping others, we are empty. We are hacking it out. We're not comfortable in our own skin. So, you know, I notice that when women judge other women, you can pretty much bet that they're judging themselves and they're not coming up with a favorable evaluation. I think money flows when you flow. You know that you're of value and you know what you stand for and you claim it, meaning you're authentic. You respect money and what it can do for your life, but you don't revere it. Don't be subservient to it. Know how it can be a trusted friend, right? You have to have a real clear idea of what you're going to do with the money that you're earning. And fourthly, we do have to take actions that reflect a positive, expansive view of yourself and allow it to grow. You have to look at your behaviors and beliefs.
Welcome to Just for Women, Kathy.
Oh, thanks for having me, Elisa.
Yeah, so Kathy Caprino is a trained psychotherapist and author of the book Breakdown, Breakthrough, The Professional Woman's Guide to Claiming a Life of Passion, Power, and Purpose. With 18 years experience, she is a recognized expert in professional women's empowerment and is an avid writer and speaker on women's issues. She's the president and founder of Elia Communications and lives in Connecticut with her renowned husband and two children. So now, Kathy, everybody wants to know why your husband is renowned.
he's a world-renowned jazz percussionist.
Isn't that cool?
Arthur Lipner, yeah. So he just came back from Croatia and Slovenia, so he has quite an interesting life.
Wow, that must be fantastic. And do you travel around with him?
You know, I did an awful lot before my kids, who are now 11 and 14, so I've taken a little hiatus, but we think we're going to start bringing them with us. So
nice.
That'll be fun, yeah.
Well, Kathy, I know my listeners really care about how to recover if they are experiencing a professional crisis, so I'm really pleased to have you on the show today.
Great, thanks.
And so today I want to talk about why right now in particular is a ripe time for women to experience this kind of professional crisis. I want to talk about your new model for empowered living and how we can claim this passion and power and purpose in our life.
Great.
So I'd love to start off with a little bit of information about you. You know, your story is probably common. And I'd love for you to share a little bit with the audience about what happened for you and how you knew it was time to make a change.
Great. I'd love to. Well, I had an 18-year corporate career in publishing and marketing, and the interesting thing is, on the outside, it looked like a very successful career. You know, I rose to VP level from several reputable companies, made lots of money, promotions, travel, etc. But inside, I realize now I was really breaking down. And it started to become very clear as I approached 40. I'm 48 now. Because a number of things really broke my life down. First, I had some chronic illness. I had 4 years of something called tracheitis, which is like a serious laryngitis. You know, every 3 months I'd have a week of fever. I couldn't move out of the bed, no voice, really terrible. And then I started experiencing other crises, discrimination. I experienced sexual harassment. And if I got really honest with myself, I started really hating my work, or I guess I would say more specifically, finding it meaningless, not aligned with what I felt I could be doing in the world. Mm-hmm. But the crisis really that happened was I went to get help. I went to a career counselor, a therapist. I went to find a role model, and I couldn't discover what to do. I felt so stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So what often happens when we don't take forward movement for ourselves, right after 9/11, after moving to a more affluent town, in a bigger house, so more financial responsibilities for me, I was laid off, but in a way that just felt so brutal to me that I said something snapped, and I knew that something dramatic had to change, that kind of a major reinvention was called for. And I did it. I very quickly, I was in my therapist's office and crying about being laid off, and he said, I know this is a crisis to you, but to me it's the first moment in your adult life that you can choose consciously the next chapter. What do you want? And I remember saying, I want to do what you do. And he said, what is that? And I said, helping people. So it seemed to flow so quickly. I got a master's in marriage and family therapy, coaching training, became a therapist and a coach, and embarked on this 7-year journey of researching and working with professional women in crisis, which came, you know, to fruition with the book.
Great. Wow. Thank you for that story. It sounds good. It's amazing to me how much we'll tolerate before we actually do something. You know, it was like your body was breaking down. There was all this harassment. And still, it took this almost like a hit with a 2x4, you know,
definitely.
To say you have got to do something.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the many things I work on with women. We often wait until it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of the problem. And I still suffer from this a little, that when something isn't going right, I think that I'm to blame.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I blew it or I need to revise. And that's one key lesson of all this. If it's not going right and you're stuck and you're miserable, it's meant to be that way. You're meant to change something. It's not that you're blowing it. It's that this is not a right fit for you, so what can you do about it, you know?
It's like finding the silver lining in any sort of devastating problem. There's something good coming from it.
I believe that with all my heart, you know. Not that we want to experience how difficult these times are, but if you have the mindset that there's something you're going to be thankful for in the end of it, something through this that's going to make you grow and stretch and be bigger, and, you know, really more joyful and more aligned with who you are, then you can actually embrace these hard times, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to a great question. How do we know if we are in crisis or if we're just going through a difficult time?
Yeah, they are different. A crisis is a time of real reckoning and reevaluation. When you wake up and realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that the time for change is now. I mean, usually these things are happening. You're saying to yourself, I just can't do this. I can't do this 1 second more. Or you're desperately longing for change. It's not just a niggling feeling. It's an urgent longing. Or you fantasize about a radically different life, but you think there's no way you can have it.
Mm.
Or finally, you realize the way you work or who you are when you work or what you're focusing on is just no longer acceptable to you. That's a real crisis. Whereas as a tough time is, wow, I'm not enjoying this, but it doesn't feel like you have to make a radical change right this second.
Okay, and so, you know, I'm just trying to think if women who are thinking that, because it's so elusive, right? I mean, I'm sure you thought through all of the, I mean, especially the even the chronic illness where you couldn't even talk, you still weren't getting it. So is there like a clear, it sounds like, okay, you're fantasizing, you're just, it sounds like you got a snap.
Yeah. You know, and I'm asking, I'd love to be the wake-up call for American women that they don't have to snap, mm-hmm. that, you know, do it before I did it, before, literally, I've written about these 12 crises working women face. I had all of them. Don't wait till you have all of them. You know, start to look now. But, yeah, usually there is something that snaps. For instance, you know, after 4 years of chronic illness and no doctor could help, they couldn't find the cause, and all they could do is give antibiotics, which, you know, really wreaked havoc with my body. I said, I need a paradigm shift. And a friend of mine said, how about an energy healer? Which at that moment in time, I thought, what? Now, of course, I really do believe in energy work and healing. But I went to two separate healers because I couldn't believe it the first time. But both said, you know, the tracheitis is right in your throat. And your throat, if you know about, you know, energy work, is the seat of your personal expression. So they both said, what are you speaking that isn't true? You know, what's going on that is really making you be false? So, yeah, often we do have to feel like I can't take this one more second to look for different alternatives than we were used to looking for.
I really appreciate that, and I think that speaks to, you know, what's going on in our culture today with this transformation that seems to be happening. You know, there's all these ideas about 2012 and this new dawn that's happening with women. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I don't think that energy healing would be in a conversation about, you know, professional women finding their power and transforming their lives, even 5 years ago. I don't know. It just seems really kind of fresh and new. I know I do a lot of that work. But most mainstream women, like you said, at first you were kind of like, that's a little bit weird. But what's going on in our society now that makes that more acceptable?
What a great question. I think that it's exactly what we're talking about. I think many people, men and women, are realizing that something, that we've broken down in a number of ways, and that the traditional way we are looking at things, whether it's physical illness or, you know, what it is to live a fulfilling life, things are radically different. You know, I've noticed that there are generational themes. Like, I grew up with wonderful parents who are, you know, 80 and 90 now. Their themes, you know, coming out of the Depression and the war, it wasn't about self-actualization. It wasn't about finding who you really are. It was about safety and security, you know.
Right, surviving.
Yeah. So, you know, I was raised, and this is one of the reasons I think crisis hits midlife women now, we weren't really raised and encouraged to look at ourselves and what's our unique reason for being here in the world. Whereas our generation and future generations, they're really looking at different things. How are we all connected? What's going on beyond just the content of our lives, but the process, how we interrelate, what affects us, you know? And I think we're beginning to see that energy is a part of the picture, that we're all connected, that we all have an energy. And it's not so controversial now, I think.
Yay! I think it's a lot more digestible, too. And I'm a big advocate of energy with a, you know, massage therapy and Reiki background. So this is kind of like what I talk about a lot. And it's so encouraging to hear that there's more and more professional empowered women talking about this, too. You know, it's kind of like the right of being a feminine being, that we can tap into our intuition, that we can trust what's going on with us. So speaking of that, how are women breaking down in ways that men are not?
Oh, you know, this is, in fact, still a little bit controversial to some, although I think they know in their heart this is true. I conducted a year-long research study with over 100 women, And again, these 12 crises, common crises, emerged. But what I think is really happening here has a number of factors. First of all, if we're working in the corporate world, and this is not to blame and bash men in any way, but there is evidence still of a white male competitive career model in corporate America. And by that I mean there's some assumptions that are underlying what people assume that successful professionals are and do. And there are four quick assumptions. First, that your career will be linear, that you'll come in at 22 and you'll move along on a very linear path, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, that there's full-time and FaceTime. You will be a full-time employee and you will be, you know, there. You will be at meetings. You will be physically present, FaceTime. The third assumption is that the most intensive commitment is in your 30s and 40s. Well, you can see how these assumptions, that doesn't work necessarily for women. We're having babies then often, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth assumption is that power and money is what motivates best and most. And I believe with all my heart that women are not men in skirts. And that, you know, the research is showing women are motivated. Of course, we need to be compensated equally and fairly, and money is important to do what we want to do in life, but that it's not power and money that are the top motivators. It's respecting what we're doing, contribution, collaboration, and doing something with meaning. So, you know, until we can really discuss how these assumptions are crushing us, and not working, and of course not for everyone, these are sweeping generalizations, but for many women, until we can really articulate that, find advocacy for how it's not working, then we're breaking down in ways men aren't, you know?
It's so funny because it is true. What you're saying is the model for corporate America is very masculine, and women, you know, coming out of parents and being raised in these ways of maybe survival, some scarcity, definitely not the self-growth like you were talking about. We get to this place where it's like, oh, there's all these opportunities, but what we generally were grown up with is exactly what you said. Here's how you work. Here's how it's going to go. And nothing gets respected. Even women, you know, when it's time to have their period and they're not feeling well, it's like, does any of that get addressed? Is there any sort of, like, give for that kind of thing? And I can see where women would just be fed up.
Yeah, I think it's true. You know, I look at how I was raised. My dad was a GE guy, and he left at 7 in the morning every day and came home at 7 at night. And I viewed that as what being a successful professional is. And, you know, you're just absolutely right. We have to start realizing where it doesn't fit. And we have to understand what battles we want to fight, you know. There's this other reason where women are breaking down in ways men aren't. I do understand that balancing life and work is a male issue as well. However, it's still the fact of the matter, and research shows it, that women are doing the majority of domestic responsibility. Elder care, child care, you know, the home. So here they are doing the majority of that, plus, you know, trying to carve out a very full professional life. Well, that can often lead to breakdown, often because we're a bit of over-functioners. And, right? We women, and this is not true of men, I think, in general, women tend to do more than is necessary, more than is required, and more than is healthy.
Why? I wonder why that is. But you know why that is? Here's why I think that is. We were trained that way.
Yeah.
We were not trained to be the you know, in Buddhism, it's the red essence of the feminine, you know, and just the feminine energy of flow and nurture and relax and trust. You know, it's like we weren't taught that, like you said.
Right.
You saw your dad going to work. And I remember my mom was like, you have to go to business school. You have to go to business school. I wanted to sing and dance and be in drama. And I went to business school and I hated it.
Oh.
I'm glad I got out of that in my late 20s. I knew then I couldn't do it. And so, but I can see where women, you just keep going and going and going. And then finally there's this breakdown.
Right.
So we're going to take a short break to support our sponsor. See, I'm all heated up now.
All right.
We better take a break now.
Okay.
So listeners, I'd love for you to listen to the ads that are coming up next. They're ads created by my sponsors for Just for Women. And, you know, they help me bring these great experts like Kathy Caprino to you. So if you can support them, I'd really appreciate it. This is Elisa Kreitman. I'm with Kathy Caprino, psychotherapist and women's career coach. And we'll be right back to talk more about how to identify and recover from professional crisis. We'll be right back.
This is Kerry Garrison with Camera Dojo. If you'd like to make the most out of your photography, come check us out at the Camera Dojo podcast at personallifemedia.com.
I'm Elisa Kreitman. We're talking with Kathy Caprino, psychotherapist and women's career coach, about how to discern whether or not you're in a professional crisis and what to do about it. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, some of the things that have been happening in our society that have caused women to break down, some of the confusion in the workplace, what a crisis actually is. So now, Kathy, I want to talk a little bit about your model. You've developed a model for empowered living. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Wonderful. What I've seen is that when we're talking about being disempowered, and, you know, that can be a word that people cringe at a little bit because it can be overused. But what I'm talking about when we're empowered is that we're connected with ourselves, we feel comfortable advocating for ourselves and others, and we know how to move forward in the world. So when the opposite of that is when we can't do that. And what I'm seeing when I look at these 12 common crises is that that disempowerment breaks down in four levels: with yourself, with others, with the world, and with your higher self. So really what that means is, you know, in yourself, do you love and accept yourself? Do you believe you're worthy of value, right? With disempowerment with others, do you feel respected? Do you feel you're an equal with others? Do you feel well-treated? With the world, do you feel you're an effective vehicle for what you want to do in the world? And the higher self, not a religious concept, but a concept of, are you connected with a dimension that's bigger than you, bigger than your ego, bigger than your individual self, you know, where you can tap into higher skills and wisdom and insights?
Yeah, you know, I love this model, and I know in your book you have this great chart where you can actually pinpoint yourself. If you're struggling in a particular area, you can actually see what to do. So if women are struggling with self, they're feeling worthy, their love and acceptance of themselves, what can they do to transform that?
Yeah, and these are big questions, so we don't transform overnight. You know, we can't just do an exercise and done. But
there's no pill?
I've tried to find one, but no. But here's the deal. I really believe that under each of these, there is an underlying cause, a root cause that's contributing to the problem. So the first piece is to really understand, where am I broken down? So let's take even chronic health problems. You know, I think the underlying root there is that the body is communicating what the lips are not. So we have to take, in whenever we're in either a crisis or a mode where we're just not moving forward, there are three steps. To number one, step back to gain an empowered perspective. Number two, to let go of what holds you back, and that's behaviors and thinking and patterns and expectations. And three, to say yes to what compels you. So, you know, there are specific things to do under that. But first we have to get at, what is the root problem and how do I shift it?
Okay, so getting at the root, what are the methods of that? Is that like meditation or going to a therapist? How do you do that on your own? Can you, or do you need outside help?
It's interesting. Einstein, I think, said you cannot solve a problem on the level it was created. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we need to get an outside perspective, but not just any perspective. It has to be empowering. By that I mean, and one way to define it is this person someone who believes in the future vision of you before it's been hatched, you know? Mm-hmm. They believe that you have what it takes inherently to follow your dreams, be all you can be, and you just need a little guidance to, you know, find the best way for yourself. So often we ask the advice of the wrong people, people who want to keep you stuck, really, people who are jealous of you, you know, people who to watch you thrive and grow and stretch and fly is very threatening. Well, that's not the kind of help we need. We need empowered help.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. I know, because we're women. We want to connect with our girlfriends, but that doesn't mean they're trained or they're really clear. As much as we love them, you know, and it's really not the role. And I love what you said about we have to heal it at the level it was created. So if we have these unconscious patterns of thinking from our childhood that we didn't know that we were living in that world, we got to go back to that unconscious place and look at it. And probably with someone who's trained in those things, whether it's energy or, you know, psychotherapy, whatever it is.
That's right. That's so right. You know, I look at my situation, and people have asked me, well, why did all the help that you got, the career counselor, why did it not really shift you? And it's because I needed a paradigm shift that they weren't giving me. Mm. And what I mean by that is when I really look at what kept me stuck, as I mentioned, my husband's a famous jazz musician, but that doesn't represent necessarily financial stability and security. And I thought I was the one who had to deliver that. I thought he was the creative one. I'm just the money maker. And I put myself in this box that's why I'm a keeper, because I make a lot of money. And when you put yourself in a box like that, you don't see opportunities when they hit you on the head, you know?
Mm.
So for me, that's one of the many beliefs I had to let go of, that I'm in fact worthy and valuable for many more reasons besides how much money I make.
Isn't that beautiful? Do you have a section like that in your book where we go over those beliefs?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
There's some great exercises. And in fact, you know, money, wow. Isn't it one of the most powerful or disempowering concepts we're dealing with today? You know, and so the book does give you a whole look at how do you heal your relationship with money.
That's so funny. I had that for a little further down in the talk. Let me see what time it is. I'm like, money, sex, you know, these are the big themes that really can whack us out. So you needed a paradigm shift. You needed it from somebody that was going to help you and show you and look at this in a way that you couldn't. I do want to talk about money later, but I want to follow on this track. There's a phenomenon you write about in your book that women think, I can't do this.
Right.
And it's kind of particular to women. What is that about?
I think in some ways it's how we've been socialized, it's how we've been trained. You know, if you look at men in general, there's almost a sense of entitlement, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but a belief that, an optimism, I can do this. Women often struggle with, you know, I simply can't, and whether that's because they've tried and been unsuccessful, or they haven't had the role models. I mean, think about what we grew up with. Did we see women doing what we're trying to do? No, you know.
Right.
So it's not really in our framework to come from the place where I don't really know how to do this, but I'm capable of it. I think women really go through a lot of self-doubt, and that keeps us very stuck. And I think that's different from what men experience.
Right, it's true. It's like the pink pile and the blue pile, you know. It's like, oh, here's, and like you were saying, you know, you were in this box. You were in the pink pile, and your flavor was a little bit different, but this is how it should be, and this is where your self-worth is all tied into, totally unconsciously living that. And again, it gets back to this conditioned thinking.
Right. And there's also, as you said, pieces of us that we think we're very tied up with the importance of nurturing others. And, you know, as a mom, I know the importance of that for my life. But yet, you can't let go of nurturing yourself.
Right.
You have to be able to look at, what do you need? You know, I often see women who experience what I've experienced, that the single hardest challenge in my adult life is doing what, being what I want to be as a mom, and balancing that with what I want to be as an individual and a professional.
Right.
It can be extremely challenging, but you have to honor yourself equally with others. Otherwise, you really do get lost in the shuffle. You know?
And you've got nothing to give.
Right.
You know, this is what I've heard echoed so often with a lot of the experts that I've talked about on the show. It is not in our culture for women to really take care of themselves. And it's a part of our, you know, power as women to really bring that, the nurturing that we want to bring to our children, to ourselves. And yeah, so it's true. I think there's a paradigm shift happening, like planetary. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. I'm with you. And, you know, I would even say, and I have to preface this by saying, I know the pain and the fear that people are having financially today. I get that. And I feel that what we're going through now is a shift that is going to recalibrate things. It's going to connect us individually and globally to a new sense of power and a new sense of value and meaning. And, you know, I do believe there's a silver lining there.
Right. And, you know, to your point, the question is, who's going to lead this way? And where are we going to find the support? And where we're going to find it is in ourselves and with each other. Like-minded people who are just putting down their arms and saying, you know what, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to live a life that's in alignment with what's really true to me. And I'm going to find out what that is, and I'm going to do it. And that's it.
Yeah. And, you know, I talk about, and I know this is interesting to you, women can be very hard on other women and very competitive.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Why? Where is that coming from?
Yeah.
Masculine.
You know, and I have to explain my frame of view, which is that we're all inherently good. We don't pop out of the womb being cruel and you know, petty. I think when we're not helping others, we are empty. We are hacking it out. We're not comfortable in our own skin. So, you know, I notice that when women judge other women, you can pretty much bet that they're judging themselves and they're not coming up with a favorable evaluation.
It's like the finger pointing out, there's always three pointing back.
Yeah, I really think that. So, you know, when we are stuck in an intense competition with someone else, whether it's, you know, I happen to live in an area, for instance, where there aren't a lot of women who work. And boy, I can be on the receiving end of judgments about being a working mom. Cruel judgments. And I certainly know it goes the other way, too. So, you know, I think when we're feeling intensely competitive, we have to do those three steps. We have to step back and look at why. Why am I feeling so intensely competitive? And what does it mean? And usually it means you've had to prove yourself. You feel unworthy in some way, and you have to prove yourself over and over and over, right? The second piece is, what am I gaining and what am I losing by being in this competition? What am I really winning by competing and running over everyone around me, you know?
But how do you go about accessing the thinking of these women in your own neighborhood who are judging you? Like, how does that get transformed into helping them realize that you're doing what feels good to you, even though they have a judgment about it? Like, how do we impact that?
I think that I really believe this. The change that we want to see, we have to embody. I mean, it's Gandhi's principle, right? But when I get judged, I mean, obviously, I'm human. I'm like everyone else. I want to slap them upside the head, you know? I do. But I go home, and I commit some time to thinking about it. The first is, know that they're doing the best that they can. This is the best that they can do right now. Number two, I learned this in my therapy training. What someone says about you is much more about them than about you.
Yeah.
And I try to remember that. This is their filter. This is what they believe. Okay. You know, and the third piece is, I try really hard not to snap back and simply judge them.
Yeah.
But to find a place in my heart to forgive that, you know, to really say, wow, I just got judged. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times you have to step up for yourself. You stand up for yourself. And, you know, there have been times I've had to say, look, I really get that you and I don't see eye to eye here, but the way this is going down is not positive. So let's talk about it. You know, you do have to stand up. Sometimes it's best to shift yourself and realize that it's really their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can really stay centered in myself and know what matters to me, I don't really have to convince them, do I, you know?
Right. And, you know, you said it, you have to stay centered in yourself. What practices do you do on a daily, weekly basis that help keep you centered?
Yeah, I do have, you know, I don't even call it a meditative practice, but I take time usually in the morning, about just 15 minutes, and I do deep breathing, and I will be honest, I access what I call my guides or my own angels, you know. I ask for help. I open my connection with that dimension that's going to show me new ways to be. Secondly, every day when, you know, I ask, if things aren't going the way I'm wanting, what can I do about them? I believe, and this is also from the therapy training, I'm 50% of the problem. Yeah, I'm 50% of it. I have the responsibility to shift it. And I want to learn, what can I do, you know? So I do take those three steps. I try to gain the empowered perspective, and every day that case is, that situation is kind of connecting to a higher level. I ask to understand what I have to let go of that day, and I think about, what do I want to say yes to? What's compelling me that I know I want to move forward to? And just thinking about that for 15 minutes before my day starts, it really shifts the outcome of the day, you know?
I really like that. It's, you know, it's the remedy, it sounds like, for all of this habitual thinking that we've grown up with. It's like, oh, we have these new tools now to really focus on what it is we want. And the thing I love about what you're saying is, you know, a lot of this stuff might sound a little metaphysical to some people, you know, New Agey or something. But see, I don't think it is. And I think it's totally necessary. And I appreciate you being a bridge to professional women, because that's your focus, talking about how can I ground and deep breathe and ask for information from another dimension.
Yeah.
I mean, this is breakthrough.
Oh, thank you for saying. And you know, it's interesting. There are many people that live in one world or the other, let's say professional women, who would never talk about this. And there are other people who that's all they talk about. It's interesting to be that bridge, because I was a high-powered professional woman, and because I had those responses, like, oh, too woo-woo, you know, I can understand and intervene in a way that I think people can hear me. And you know, if you don't have that belief system, I certainly am not going to throw it at you. We will talk about practices that make sense for you. But certainly slowing yourself down and quieting that chatter of your mind, it's not woo-woo, it's essential today, I think.
Absolutely, and it's just a lost art, and that's what I think. And again, it really goes back to what we've been saying this whole time, is we just didn't know. We just weren't told. So, you know, how are we supposed to do things that we didn't grow up doing? It's foreign, but it's essential. Okay, we're going to take one more break to support our sponsors. Again, listeners, I'd love it if you would support these fantastic sponsors who are kicking down some great deals for you. So check them out. Also, feel free to send me an email at Alissa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at personallifemedia.com, or give me a call, 206-350-5333. And leave me a message. I'd love to hear your feedback, your questions, your comments, all that good stuff. This is Alissa Kreitman. I'm with Kathy Caprino, and we'll be right back to talk more about how we can continue to learn, to develop, to break these old habits that no longer serve us, and create mind, new thoughts, new thinking, new practices that are really going to help empower us in our lives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen to Living Dialogues, Thought Leaders in Transforming Ourselves and Our Global Community with Duncan Campbell, Visionary Conversationalist, bringing you the best in new paradigm thinking on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm Elisa Kreitman. We're talking with Kathy Caprino, psychotherapist and women's career coach. And I'm just having the best time here today. Kathy, thank you so much. This is really breakthrough, amazing information for professional women to start to really tap into the what's authentically going on with themselves and how to live a life that's truly empowering.
Wonderful.
I want to get back to the money topic before we go, because it's so powerful. And you were saying that, you know, really, I'm sure we all know, our economy is at an interesting place, and money always seems to be an issue in relationships. You know, I've read it's one of the number one things that couples fight over. So what do you have to say about money and our understanding and relationship with money that could empower us?
Okay. Here's what I've discovered. And I have to say I live this, you know, every day. Excuse me. This is where I'm most challenged, so that when I have breakthrough with this, I really know, okay, this is powerful. First of all, I think money flows when you flow. And what I mean by that is, here's what has to happen for it to feel like a positive essence in your life. First of all, you know that you're of value, and you know what you stand for, and you claim it, meaning you're authentic. You respect money and what it can do for your life, but you don't revere it. I notice some people treat money like ancient people did their ferocious gods, right?
Mm.
So don't put yourself below it. Don't be subservient to it. Know how it can be a trusted friend, right? Thirdly, you have to have a real clear idea of what you're going to do with the money that you're earning. Because often we have old leftover beliefs that having great prosperity, being rich, or having a lot of money is dirty or selfish, or there's not enough to go around. We have to shift that. But to do that, you've got to know, well, what am I going to do with my money? What value, what good is it going to bring to myself, my family, my world, my community? What is it that I'm going to do with my money? And fourthly, we do have to take actions that reflect a positive, expansive view of yourself and allow it to grow. So on the flip side, you have to look at your behaviors and beliefs. Are you shopping addicted? And I know I was. You know, often we'll go and alleviate our own fears and upset and anxiety by shopping. You know, what are your behaviors around money? Are you saving? Are you investing in what matters to you? Are you overspending? You know, do you have a healthy relationship with money? Do you believe it's good, not dirty or bad, to have money?
You know, it's interesting because even with women in particular, I could see some old beliefs being the man makes the money. I mean, you didn't necessarily have that. You had something else, which is I'm going to make the money, which was another trap. So how do you find the balance?
That's a great question. And I want to tell you, I think one of my problems was, even though I said I'm going to make the money, I was still mad that I had to make the money.
Mm.
Wow. And, you know, these are layers. It doesn't immediately come to you. But, you know, I know for me, the balance has been I want to find soulful, enriching work that also makes a great income. I think we have to throw out the belief that when your soul is enriched or when you feel aligned that you're actually going to make no money. We have to stop believing that.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a very American belief. Mm-hmm. But if you go to other cultures, they don't have that belief at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, really look at what are the beliefs that are keeping us stuck. Do you really think that following your heart means
you know, you're going to have to live, you know, on the side of the road.
With all the other people who are living their dream.
Yeah, right. But the other piece is, and I'm finding this in my own business, and I can throw this out, I adore working with women. It's my passion. I love working with men, too. But you do have to name and claim what you love and what you're great at. You can't keep it a secret, and you have to invest in that, and you have to risk that. You know, you have to risk putting yourself out there. If you keep yourself a secret in your business, in your life, money often, it won't flow to you because you're not saying to yourself that I believe in myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It really makes sense. And what makes sense the most is that it's like a process. It's like turning this boat around that's been going one way your entire life, and then slowly saying, okay, there's an iceberg ahead. We've got to turn this around and go the other way.
Right.
And there's new practices, new thinking, all of this stuff. You know, a lot of it is about identifying old beliefs and replacing them with ones that actually work and are uplifting.
That's right. But then I do want to point out, if you have your own business, for instance, it's critical that you have a money mindset. You have to do stuff that is essential to building your business. You have to have a business plan. You have to know what your P&L looks like. And if those words scare the bejeebies out of you, then you get help. But, you know, I've also lived with and worked with people that flipped to the other side and said, it'll just all work out. Build it and it will come. They will come. And that's not necessarily true. You have to take aligned action, smart, realistic, you know, steps to building a business or turning your financial boat around. And often we need some empowered help to do that.
So if a woman is looking at changing her life and she does get the heebie-jeebies from a P&L statement and she hasn't created it yet, when's a good time to get the financial advice? Before you're even and launched into it?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, I think, let's say you want to embark on your own business, it's important to do a lot of research in the beginning and know what your skills are. Does this make sense in this time, in this economy? Do you have the skills? So the first piece is get a role model or a mentor who really knows it and do your research. In a way, maybe even intern or try on the professional identity of it. So often we think, you know, oh, I'm going off to be a massage therapist or a therapist. That's going to, you know, save my life. Yeah, do you know what the professional identity of it is? Get really real about that. If you've done that and then you're ready, you think you're ready, then I think it's time to get a terrific financial consultant. And, you know, for women, I happen to have a wonderful woman who, that's her job, to support other small businesses owned by women. It's great to find empowering people that are aligned with what you're doing, you know?
Exactly. I think it's imperative, definitely.
Yeah. I've done the other, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So don't just seek out somebody your husband says he likes. That may be great, but it may not be. You know, find someone who's really going to get what you're trying to do. And if they're good at their job and get some references, you know, they'll help you with the practical, but they'll also support you with the other pieces.
Nice. Kathy, we are almost out of time, but I want to ask you one quick question before we go. If there was only one practice you could recommend to women on their journey to overcoming professional crisis or even personal crisis, what would it be?
It would be one of the three steps. It would be say yes to what you long for. My belief is we didn't come to this planet at this time to simply pay our mortgage. Yes, that's critical, paying the bills or whatever it is, to do what you have to do. But you came here to do what you long to do as well. So don't doubt it for a second. Stop and say yes. Yes, I want to try this out. Yes, I want to learn this new skill. Yes, I want to start my own business. Whatever it is, say yes, but get on an empowered path to doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I that sounds like, would that be the one? Just start
saying
yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But, you know, the other two steps are important. Get the empowered perspective and let go of what holds you back. Figure out the root cause of the patterns that keep being repeated in your life. And you can certainly turn to my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, for a little advice about that.
Yeah, tell us more about that. How can we find you and your book?
Oh, yeah. There's a website on the book, breakdownbreakthrough.com. My business is Elia Communications, E-L-L-I-A, which, by the way, is named after my two children, Julie and Elliot, communications.com. Or it's the book is on Amazon or at your bookstore. So I hope people will check it out.
Perfect. It is a fantastic, fantastic book for women, not only personally, but definitely professionally. Clear maps, clear models, addressing all the issues that we go through. And so I really appreciate this book. And again, I love that you're being the bridge to some practices that aren't so linear.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for letting me explore it with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on Just for Women.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And for a copy of my book, Elise's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams, just go to my website, sacredspa.org, and click on the book cover icon. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman, always expanding your choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. Join us next week on Just for Women for more juicy news you can use.
Find more great shows like this on PersonalLifeMedia.com.